Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. It is a Tuesday morning. We're happy you're with us this morning. Kind of chilly out the door, I'd say. It's in the, is it above 20 now? It's warming
it's
up out there.
It's above 20, but yeah, but the feels like temperature is in the teens.
Yeah, it's going to be a chilly one. Lots of, there was some frost out there on my car this morning as we got up. Just be warned, if you head out the door, I think I heard there may be a snowflake or two at some point. Not enough to cause any major concern. Not that it would at MoDOT, but regardless, everything will be fine. Just relax and make your way to work, have a cup of coffee, and hope you have a good day. Good start to your week. It's always a great start when you have Monday off. Thank you, Kim, and my friend Ryan Recker filling in yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good day, and I'm glad you got to go to the inauguration.
Yeah, I wanted to go. It was a good time, and there was just no way to do the show and be able to leave downtown in time to get there comfortably to find a place to park and get to your seat before the inauguration kicked off. So I was happy that I got the day off to go do that, and we had a great time. We didn't stay for the ball. I saw some pictures of people who went to the governor's ball. I've been to one of those before. It's kind of organized chaos. Like, there's one little bit where the governor comes down the steps of the Capitol building and with his wife, and everybody applauds him and the lieutenant governor and the elected officials. And then after that, people just mill around in that big building. And I don't know. I didn't feel like I needed to stick around for that. Plus, I had to get up this morning and bring you the information you need to know.
Is that something where they have that inaugural ball? Do they have a band, and is it kind of like that?
Yeah, they do. They have a band. There's some the opportunity to dance. If you want people to dress up, I don't know if they wear tuxes necessarily. Some probably do, but it's an interesting event. If you've never been to it, something to do once. I just didn't want to do it.
Can anyone go?
Yeah, it's open to the public.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Wow,
I'm pretty sure it is.
I did not know that.
They weren't the last time I went. They weren't checking your car. You walk through a metal detector, but they weren't checking your invitation at the door.
Wow. Okay. I would not have guessed that. I would think you'd have to be invited.
Generally, like, it's at the Capitol building, and generally speaking, it's people who are pretty hardcore involved in politics at some level. Either they're a supporter of one of the candidates that just got sworn in, or they've been part of a county committee or something like that. So that's generally the people you run into down there.
So you. People
well,
just like you.
People who were involved in it and have played some role. Absolutely.
Well, we were joking that this is like you nerding out. Like, this is yesterday was your Super Bowl, and you have another Super Bowl coming up on Monday.
Well, yeah, I would say yesterday was the regional playoffs, and
that's
the
fair.
Super Bowl is coming up Monday.
Okay, you're right.
That's more accurate. 6 days. Driving to D.C. and going to check out the inaugural festivities. I've got my list of things I'm not allowed to take, like body armor and firearms. I've read the list from the Capitol Police, just in case anybody was thinking about taking any of that, which no one would.
Leave your explosives at home.
Yeah.
Next time you can bring them.
Yes. Next time I'll get around to all of that stuff. I promise you that. All right. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to our friend, former Senator John Lamping, speaking of the inauguration, the people sworn in down there. Lots of familiar faces. If you're in Jeff City, there are lots of familiar faces year after year after year after year. What role does that play in the fact that often not a lot gets accomplished down there. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I'll let John speculate on it as well when we get to the bottom of the hour here. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Next hour, we're going to get to my friend Luis Valdez. He's with the Gun Owners of America and talk about a whole bunch of stuff that is going on, including this attempt by Congressman Eric Burleson to ban the ATF. He's co-sponsored the bill, and he's been out in front of this this whole session so far since he got sworn in back on the 3rd. So we're gonna talk to Lewis about that in the 7 o'clock hour. First, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
So when I took office, I had a choice. In my view, it was time to end the war and bring our troops home, and we did.
Yeah, there you go. Joe Biden still not apologizing at all for the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And I just have to wonder how those Gold Star families are feeling this morning after hearing that once again.
They got 40 million people in that state, and they voting these imbeciles in office. They don't deserve anything, to be honest with you, unless they show us they're going to make some changes.
That's Tommy Tuberville, and he is the senator from Alabama, I believe, and he's not mincing any words. He thinks the people in California, the chickens have come home to roost because they keep electing the same people with the same bad policies, and once again, disaster has struck.
They pulled up, and they were getting ready to get out, and one of them was armed with a 9mm Glock. So at that point in time, I go, okay, we got a problem.
He showed his own firearm before the teens got back in the car and drove away.
Wasn't that story something out of St. Louis County yesterday? I mean, good guy with a gun stops a bunch of thugs who were trying to carjack a woman. I'm a little surprised the news didn't run out and try to find somebody to complain about this guy sticking his nose in where he had no business.
Mike Kehoe put 6 executive orders into effect immediately. These become state law now, and they do things like bolstering training and funding for local law enforcement.
Yes, they do. So Governor Kehoe left the stage yesterday, and then he went out, and of course, he immediately signed these executive orders. And, you know, I think that they may have an impact, particularly the ones that direct state police to cooperate on immigration issues, because you've got in the state of California, in the middle of this disastrous fire in Southern California, guess what the legislature did yesterday? The legislature yesterday confirmed a $50 million expenditure to help the state fight the policies of Donald Trump. They've got thousands of homes, like 12,000 homes destroyed is the count I heard. 23, 24 people dead. We're still in the middle of all of this going on, and the state legislature in California is busy allotting money so that Gavin Newsom has a pot of money to fight the immigration policies of Donald Trump when he becomes president.
More and more celebrities who I would probably argue tend to lean very left have been waking up. In light of what's going on with all these wildfires, they're speaking out and saying, look at what's happening because of the way our state and L.A. as a city has been run.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how you I don't know how you get away from making that argument. Scott Jennings, the only voice of common sense on CNN, said something very similar yesterday, because, you know, he's surrounded by Democrats on that show, and he goes, they were all complaining about how partisan this has become, and it's a disaster, and this shouldn't be partisan, and, you know, shame on the Democrats. Jimmy Kimmel called anybody that supports Donald Trump basically a scumbag. Listen to what Kimmel said about you last night.
Responsible and stupid things our alleged future president and his gaggle of scumbags chose to say during our darkest and most terrifying hour. The fact that they chose to attack our firefighters, who apparently aren't white enough to be out there risking their lives on our behalf, it's disgusting, but it's not surprising.
Yeah, that's Kimmel. First of all, who brought race into the issue?
They were talking about the lesbian fire
Well, that's not race. I mean, they were too white. What the hell is he talking about? Somebody pointed out that the L.A. Fire Department is very woke. That's a fact. That's nothing other than a fact. So that makes you wonder, are decisions there based on skill and merit, or are they based on checking a category for DEI? This is the kind of garbage you get from leftists like Jimmy Kimmel. It's not okay to ask, well, wait a minute, it's the time of year when there's a high chance you're going to have a fire. Who's in charge of making sure all of the reservoirs are full so that the pipes don't go dry while you're trying to fight the fires? Who's responsible for that? Somebody's got to ask those questions. That's not the question they want to ask right now. And by the way, yesterday, the president allotted $770 payments for everybody affected by this in California. Now, the people in North Carolina only got $750. Why are they getting more in California?
Well, keep in mind, too, the people in, was it South Carolina you said?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, that's right. A lot of them were saying they didn't even get that money that they were promised. And what is that really going to do?
California?
I guess it's a step in the right direction. It's better than nothing, but that's just ridiculous. In California, you're going to be able to buy what? A tank of gas and maybe a meal. Yeah,
for that in California, probably. I would guess. Anyway, it seems like very little. And the fact that there are still people living in tents in North Carolina in this weather, I'd love to know why we've so lost focus on that. I'm not saying in any way that what's going on in California isn't horrific. But we seem to have forgotten about the people in North Carolina as well. All right, quick break. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes. The hearings start today for the president's cabinet members, supposed to be starting with Pete Hegseth. And boy, the Democrats can smell fire. They think there's some smoke out there on Hegseth's background. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Always remember, if you ain't first, last.
I can't help but to revel a little bit in what's about to happen on Monday. I just got to tell you, I'm so excited about it. The world is changing before our eyes. There's going to be, and I'm not sure this is the best thing in the world, but if you listen to Jake Sullivan with the Biden administration, there is a race. They've got it down to the hours to try to secure some sort of a peace agreement in Israel, in Gaza, because the Biden administration wants to take some credit for that. But they don't deserve any credit for it, because they would never be able to make this deal if it wasn't for the fact that Donald Trump's coming into the White House. Can we just be honest about that? The world is changing. Listen to, we might soon be the proud owners of Greenland. I know you may not be aware of that, Kim, but apparently they went over to Greenland and they were interviewing some kids on the street, and the kids on the street are all over that idea. Listen.
I'm here in Greenland. This kid's got a MAGA hat on. What's your message to Donald Trump?
Fight Greenland.
Fight Greenland.
Fight Greenland. Fight Greenland.
No more tennis.
No more tennis. We don't like tennis people.
Can you imagine if that happened? Well, why don't they like the Danish?
They didn't speculate.
They're the ones that own it now.
No, I know they do. On that. I know they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. It was Don Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk went with him.
Yeah.
To Greenland.
Well, and here's the thing. But there are about 70,000 people in the whole country. They're autonomous. They basically are owned by Denmark, but they want autonomy. And the United States could offer a lot more to them than Denmark does. I'm certain of it, just as a territory of some sort, like we do with Guam. Don't be surprised if that deal doesn't get done, or some form of that deal, because now the Danish have come to the table and said, well, we understand America's interest there. I'm sure that we can work with you.
Well, and so Greenland has oil and other resources, right? Well, what are the other things that we would really want that they have?
Uh, it's a strategic spot. You could put a big military base up there to keep the Chinese and the Russians out of the Arctic, or at least control what they're doing in the Arctic, number one, in addition to the minerals that they have under the ground there, if you could ever access them, right? I mean, I don't know that that's the primary concern, but you can bet it's why China's interested in it. So it'd be far better off if the U.S. controlled it.
And our Space Force base is there.
Yeah, but my point is we're winning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at every level here, we are winning, and I love the fact that that's happening right now. You know where else it's kind of evident that we're winning? On television. You know what, Michelle and I, of course, I didn't have to work Monday morning, so I could stay up a little later, and we watched the latest episode of Landman. Have you watched Landman with Billy Bob Thornton?
Mm-mm.
It's a Taylor Sheridan show. A new episode rolls out every Sunday night. I would highly recommend you watch this show if you are anywhere near my point of view on fossil fuels, right? It's about the oil industry. And it's got John Hamm in it, and I won't give away any details here. It's got Hamm as one of the characters. He's like a billionaire. He owns a bunch of these oil fields. He's always out there striking deals. And this show has turned into a little bit of a weekly course in reality for the climate change crowd out there who thinks they're going to switch us over to electric vehicles in 10 years. Repeatedly, the John Hamm character just scolds them constantly on, you're out of your mind. The world runs on this stuff. What are you doing trying to shut it down? They talk about how if they can keep oil between $60 and $72 a barrel, that's where they exist. That's where they can be profitable. That's where they can keep pumping it. They don't want it to be $100 a barrel. They don't want it to be $40 a barrel. They need it to be between $6 and $10. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, I mean, the Billy Bob Thornton character continually lays down truth bombs like this one. They've hired this high profile left leaning attorney who's clearly an environmentalist to represent their oil company, and she decides she doesn't like fracking. Listen to this during the show last night.
You understand? I don't think anyone should be doing this. All right, I think it should be illegal.
Well, then you should have run for Congress instead of getting a job with an oil company.
I have a very hard time advocating for something I believe is wrong.
Says the lawyer. Good and bad don't factor into this, Rebecca. Our great-grandparents built a world that runs on that right here. Until it starts running on something else, we gotta feed it, or the world stops. Hey, there is an alternative. You can throw your phone away and trade that Mercedes in for a bicycle or a horse and start hunting for your own food and living in a tent. But you'll be the only one, and it won't make a damn bit of difference. Plus, I hear the moral high ground gets real windy at night.
I love it. I love Billy Bob Thornton's character in Landman. Watch it if you haven't.
Just minutes after taking office, Mike Kehoe put 6 executive orders into effect immediately. These become state law now, and they do things like bolstering training and funding for local law enforcement.
Yeah, that's one of the reports on what happened yesterday immediately after being sworn in as governor. Mike Kehoe taking some immediate executive actions. That's good news. Some of it's on police cooperation on immigration and with the Trump administration. I thought that was a step in the right direction. I was lucky to be there yesterday. It was kind of cold outside. Went into the Capitol afterwards to warm up, but got to go see that in person. We got former Senator John Lamping on the phone this morning. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark and Kim. Nice to be with you both.
Great to have you. You've been to your share of those, right?
Yeah, it's nice of you to go. I think the ceremony on the steps is actually, I quite like it. I heard Kim asking some questions about the ball. So the dirty little secret about the ball is that the whole state is invited. You don't need an invitation.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, and there's really not a whole lot to do other than just go into the ball itself, and there's music, and I think there's soft drinks that are available, but there's no food, there's nothing provided. And what you're obligated to then do is you go to the different offices around the Capitol, some of the different legislators or people you know, and they might provide something. The first ball I went to, my office wasn't even set up. I had like folding chairs because it's a few days that, just before a few days ago that new people got their offices. It's quite the event for people who live in Jefferson City, though. Like all the high school kids get dressed up like it's a prom and they go to the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something to watch. You know, I was looking at the stage yesterday, and it's a who's who of Missourians. John Ashcroft was up there, so Jay Ashcroft, the Ashcroft family, certainly represented. And the Blunts were strongly represented. Obviously, Andy Blunt seemed to be running the whole thing, and Matt Blunt was there, the former governor, and Senator Roy Blunt was sitting up there. He swore in Mike Kehoe. I mean, I think that's an important connection when you talk about the Kehoe administration. Right.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest concern I have. Like it or not, here in Missouri, there is a political machine that runs Missouri now for the better part of 20 years, and it's the Blunt family. I know you're familiar with Peter Schweitzer, the guy who wrote the book Clinton Cash, and he writes a lot about money and politics. And back in 2011, he wrote a book called Extortion, and he dedicated a chapter to the Blunt family. And this is before this happened. Andy Blunt is the man behind the scenes. He's the largest lobbyist in the state. He obviously controlled his brother and his father. And, you know, and Roy was there swearing Mike Kehoe in. And, you know, just to remind your listeners, Roy Blunt is the type of Republican that when Biden's passing bipartisan bills, Roy Blunt's one of those Republicans that's voting for him. And the family's very motivated by the moneyed interests. Roy's wife's a lobbyist. Obviously, Matt Blunt, former governor, is a lobbyist in the auto industry. And unfortunately, that's probably Mike Kehoe's best friend is Andy Blunt. They live on the same street. And it's the Blunt family that brought Kehoe into politics. They appointed him to the Missouri Highway Commission back in 2004 when Blunt was governor. So to the extent that your listeners are hoping that Missouri's government does some dramatically different things, my biggest concern is that whatever Mike tries to do is going to have to get the approval of the Blunt family. And the Blunt family's history is one whereby, you know, their actions are consistent with what we call the swamp, the moneyed interest. And for your listeners that haven't read this chapter on this book, Extortion, I highly recommend it. It compares the Blunt family to the Reed family in Las Vegas, and neither families are written in a very positive light.
Politics is just so dirty. There's always someone working behind the scenes, and that's just a testament to it. I know Mark was playing the sound from the six executive orders that Kehoe signed yesterday that are supposed to reduce crime as part of his crime reduction plan. How big of a difference do you think those will actually make?
By themselves, not much of a difference at all. I mean, one has to ask the question, why didn't Mike Parson do this last week or last month or last year? What's going to happen is, and Mike Kehoe is going to be a much better governor than Mike Parson, but he'll be packaged and marketed to us. And he has completely embraced the idea of safety, and safety is important. But yesterday, in my mind, was a political act to signal to the public that that's what his primary focus is. And that's not new. Government's always supposed to be concerned for our safety. And, you know, you can see in places like California where that gets lost and the people suffer, you know, that's the good news here is that Missourians are going to be more likely to be prepared for things. But if you believe, like I do, that the fundamental problem in state government is the size of government, the level of corruption, the level of money in government, those types of things are obviously not his primary focus. I know in his speech yesterday, he talked about how, you know, we all have to get along and work together and not consider other people, other politicians our enemy. And that's the kind of talk that ends up in very large bipartisan bills passing in places like D.C. and Jefferson City that allow the government size to continue to grow. And unfortunately, at the federal level, our government deficits to get greater and greater and greater. It's not how you, if you are of the belief that government has some serious problems that it needs to change dramatically, that's not the message that he's sending in his inaugural address.
Yeah, I looked up on the stage yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, Well, you know, Cindy O'Loughlin was the one who gaveled it in the session, which they have to do a joint session in order to do the inauguration. And there was John Patterson, who just got voted in as speaker, sitting beside her. I mean, I don't know what Patterson's role was last year, but he was being groomed for that position. Cindy O'Loughlin obviously was second in command to Caleb Rowden. These were the people that didn't get IP reform done last year, and they're in charge this year.
Yeah, we in your listening audience in the St. Louis area, we just have to realize that all of St. Louis City, St. Louis County, this power base, Republican power base in mid Missouri, doesn't care anything about those people. Like they'll say that they do. That's where the money is. That's where the corporate interests are. That's where a lot of lobbyists come from. But they really don't care about that. You know, it's interesting that it's in places like St. Charles County and Franklin County and Jefferson County, your listening audience, where you've got people are the most politically active. They're most concerned about how state government is being run. But we're not in power in Jefferson City. And those that are in power don't think very highly of our opinions.
Yeah.
And they just want to go about and run government as if St. Louis doesn't really exist. And that the center of the state is in Columbia and Jeff City. And as far as the political power is concerned, that's where the center of the state is. And that's where the power resides. And I don't see how this is going to change. Mike's a very good salesman. I think yesterday was the first day of what will ultimately be an 8-year period of Kehoe. And I know a lot of people that are behind the scenes working hard to try to get him to focus on things like reduction of the income tax, but the problem with reducing the income tax is it has the opportunity to reduce the size of government, and people like the Blunts have never resided over a period of time where government didn't grow substantially. The more money that's in it, and there's the more money there is to go take from it.
Yeah.
And people like the Blunt family are very good at doing just that.
One of the other things I was happy to see done was several Republican lawmakers, they filed legislation that would basically restrict abortion. Now, I know that had been pre-filed, but it was more than a dozen, I think, that they did yesterday. I mean, do we feel like that's going to get any traction? Like, for one of them, for example, was defining reproductive rights, because that was just so vague in Amendment 3.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I'm picking up from the pro-life community and legislators that are doing this type of filing is we're kind of back to where we were maybe 10 or 15 years ago, where or even earlier, longer than that, in the era of Roe v. Wade, where what we tried to do every year was just make very small gains and make progress slowly over time, ironically enough, waiting for Roe v. Wade to be overturned. But now we're in the world of Amendment 3. Until we can reverse Amendment 3, it's doing just things like that, like making it that much harder for abortion to take place in the state. But it's going to be a long grind, and it won't be a priority of leadership or the governor. They look at that issue now as somewhat settled. I know the incoming speaker said just that once that Amendment 3 had passed, that this people will have spoken. And it's funny because it takes a lot of political courage to stand up against a ballot initiative's results. The three of us and your listeners know that most ballot initiatives are successful primarily because of the money that goes into them. It's not a fair fight. And besides, we're a representative government. We're not a democracy, 50% plus one. And but you, when you look back at all the big issues that were the ballot initiatives took place, most, if not all, of our leaders went along with whatever the vote was and didn't decide to fight against it, and which is unfortunate, but that's what's going to happen on the pro-life side. I think it's going to be a long slog.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right. John, thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, great to be with you both.
Yep, talk to you soon. Former Senator John Lamping there with some insight and some observations on the big inauguration yesterday in Jeff City. All right. We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. I told you, coming up, we're going to check in with our buddy Griff Jenkins. We're going to get some bonus Griff today because he's been out reporting on those California wildfires, still raging, and apparently more of those really high winds are expected. We're going to get an update from him coming up, we're hoping to. And we're going to talk to Chad Pergram about Pete Hegseth, And whether or not Democrats are intentionally throwing wrenches in the gears of these nomination hearings. We'll be back.
Happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Mark, earlier you talked about Carrie Underwood and how she's going to be doing America the Beautiful at the Trump inauguration. Well, a couple other bands have come out that will be participating. It looks like the Village People have announced.
No pun intended.
Yeah, they have announced that their participation in the inaugural event. They're going to emphasize the music that transcends politics and promote unity. Despite their, feelings maybe on Trump, their iconic song YMCA will be featured in part of the celebration. You can also find Jason Aldean, Kid Rock, and Rascal Flatts are all set to join the festival.
Nice. So
Jason the Village makes
people,
sense.
The Village People are going to. Now I was asking Carl because I saw the,
picture
of them on Facebook. Somebody had posted that. I mean, obviously, like many of these bands from the 70s that are touring today, I don't even know if there's a single original member in that band. I'm just looking at them. Maybe the one guy on the back left might be original. I don't know. Do we know?
Wasn't the cop? I think he's still
Victor
original.
Victor Willis, who is the original cop.
Okay.
He is
he's still
in
the band.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Somebody's making money off of, because this song has had a resurgence in popularity directly because of Trump's dance, the Trump dance. That's great. What an impact he's making on America.
It looks like Kohl's and Macy's are closing down 100 stores across the U.S., with Macy's shutting 66 locations as part of its Bold New Chapter initiative, and Kohl's closing 27 underperforming stores by April. I'm bringing this up because it looks like the
South County
Macy's is getting affected by this, and it might be the death knell for South County Mall, but
I mean, all
we'll
malls,
see.
Really. The outlet mall in the Chesterfield Valley has done really well. Well, one of them did. The other one shut down.
Right.
It never made sense to have two with identical stores like a mile or two away.
Right.
That was very odd to me.
One was on one side of the highway and one was on the other side of the highway.
The other one that's still there, though, is thriving. But, I mean, look at the Chesterfield Mall, the mall I grew up going to, and that's in the process of being demolished.
Oh,
it's just hard. People are shopping online. People are turning to things like Amazon because you can get it delivered in 2 days and sometimes the same day.
And but the outlet malls are thriving.
Well, that's what I mean. But the actual like West County Mall. I feel like West County does well, but that might be it. I don't think that we've gone past the time of you're going to have a mall in West County and a mall in South County and a mall here, like one big mall.
Where will the old people walk?
Let me get back to you on that.
Okay,
I know. So they do like to mall walk, the ladies.
What did Chesterfield and South County have in common? They both were anchored by a V-Stock. And now V-Stock will be the biggest store, I guess Penny's, at South County. But that V-Stock is huge also there.
We did do that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a place that sells used CDs and games.
Oh.
And gaming machines. Like they take
a PS1.
Like pre-owned gaming machines and sell them, right?
Yes.
And stuff like that. Because I only wandered through the one at the Chesterfield Mall once or twice
that
because of my
huge
son. Yeah. Yeah.
Walmart has recalled over 12,000 cartons of its Great Value chicken broth in 9 states due to packaging failure that could compromise it and lead to spoilage. The affected 48-ounce cartons, they were sold in Missouri. They have a best use date by March 25th, 2026. Last four numbers of the UPC, 6684. They say no illnesses have been reported, but Walmart is removing the products. They're saying you can bring them back for refunds if you have it. So check your stuff. I believe it's up on our website. You can check it out.
Okay,
good. Starbucks will require customers to make purchases if you want to use their cafes and bathrooms now under a new code of conduct. It's effective January 27th. So if you've been going in there and leeching off the Wi-Fi, your days are done.
But it's not just that. This is, again, I think, a Trump effect.
Yeah. I agree with
this. It's been a hot spot for the homeless.
Yes.
When I was in New York City, you couldn't get to the counter to get a cup of coffee, which my daughter insisted on having, for all of the homeless people who go in there to hang out to get out of the cold weather and all that stuff. And now they're going to put an end to all that. That's a good thing.
Students would just go there to work because it's a cozy environment and you like people watching. If you're going to pay $8 for a latte, you should have a nice chair to sit in. I shouldn't have to search around. So I agree. You should have to buy something if you're going to sit in there or use the bathroom.
I'm with you. That policy makes no sense to me. I mean, if you go into a cigar lounge, you shouldn't be able to bring your own cigars in and smoke them in there. Mm-hmm. You should have to buy them there. It's the same thing. I don't know why Starbucks would let you get away with that.
I'm sure they're like, oh, you're being bougie. No, you're not. Yes. You're a business trying to make a profit and provide for your customers who are actually paying.
Yes. Too much. Paying too much. True. Let's add that, please.
So, Kim, you were asking about these listeria outbreaks and what's causing them. Well, the USDA has your answer. Inadequate sanitation practices at the Boar's Head facility in Jarrett, Virginia, were linked to the 2024 listeria outbreak that killed 10 people. The USDA detailed 69 instances of noncompliance leading up to the outbreak. Violations include live and dead insects, mildew, black and green mold, condensation dripping on exposed products, and meat and fat residue on equipment from previous production cycles. So there you go.
Our food system is just doomed.
Could you say that word again? Meat and fat residue?
Let's not, Mark.
Boar's Head used to be the high quality.
I know, right? It makes you wonder about
the rest. I noticed Schnucks dropped them.
Yeah,
Schnucks doesn't carry Boar's Head anymore.
Because
right?
of the listeria outbreak.
Would you buy it?
No, probably
Boar's Head is good. They had the better quality deli meat. I mean, you paid for it, but it was better.
Find out how the sausage was.
Oh, a hot roast beef sandwich right now? I don't even normally want that, but that sounds so good right now.
Did someone make us a hot roast sandwich?
No, I'm thinking about my roast beef sandwich now.
Covered in mold.
She's focused on the food.
Mold, there's dripping. I want food.
Sue, don't talk about the mold dripping. You had to go there.
Well, I'm just saying.
All right, coming up, we're hoping to get a check in with Griff Jenkins here from California on these wildfires. And Luis Valdez is going to join me from gunowners.org on this attempt to ban the ATF. We'll get to that at 7:35. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.